Lord Jesus. We crown you as Lord of all, Lord of our lives, of this place, of all that we are. We pray now that as we turn and open your word to us, that you would reveal to us once again your goodness, of your life, of who you are. Open your word to us today, perhaps as never before, that we may see you and know you just as you see, know, and love us. Amen. You can be seated. So I'll get the kids to help me because I'm a little rusty on this whole thing. I'll get the kids to help me. Every day at VBS we have a short little Bible point that we remember, kind of a theme that we remember. Different animals help us to remember the theme for each day. And so I call something out and the response is, God is good. Okay, do you got that? Can you try that? Everybody say, God is good. I was going to say, if you have sensitive ears, maybe now is the time to cover them. The kids get a little bit loud when we do this. But throughout this week at VBS, we've been learning and thinking about God's goodness through all of life. So we heard on the first day that when life is unfair, God is good. It's actually pretty quiet in here. That's okay. You might be okay for your ears. Then the second day we heard when life is scary, God is good. And third day we heard when life changes, God is good. I still think you guys can do a lot better than that. You're letting the kids drown everyone else out. The fourth day we heard and remembered that when life is sad, God is good. And finally on Friday we heard that when life is good, God is good. Okay, just took five times to actually get warmed up maybe, hey? But we've been thinking this week about how God is good in all of life. And really one of the questions that the kids have been wrestling with and trying to keep their eyes open to and paying attention to is the ways that God has been good to them. The ways that they've seen, noticed, touched, experienced God's goodness in their lives. That's what these Watch for God bracelets, you might see some of the kids. I don't know, kids, do you have your bracelet on? Anybody or Bible buddies? Nobody brought it. Just Abby, maybe. Okay. But that's what these bracelets remind us, to watch for God, to look for God's goodness. And so as we spend some time together this morning, I encourage us just with this question. How have you seen God's goodness in your life? Where have you seen God's goodness to you? Where has God been good to you? Be thinking about that question here this morning. Where has God been good to you? Most of you know I've been away for 3 months, stepping out of this role for a sabbatical leave, a time of rest and refreshing. Just a few ways that I've seen God's goodness as I've reflected this week, especially with the kids. It's been a good time kind of jumping back into things. In some ways, it's been a hard week of transition, high-energy kids and everything else. But a good week, helping to think about God's goodness. Because really, for me and our family, I think really it's been a summer filled with God's goodness. Having time together as a family, having opportunity to rest, to be refreshed, to seek the Lord's direction for us as a church, for us as Trinity, as God's people. What does God have for us in store in the coming years? Time with family, rest. We experience God's goodness traveling down to Oregon coast, spending some days at the beaches there, really experiencing God's goodness in creation, hearing the waves and feeling the wind, smelling that ocean air. We see God's goodness in creation, God's goodness all around us. And even as I come back in, really amazed at how seamless it's been. Maybe that's all coming next week. I don't know, all the troubles and everything from the summer. But amazed at how God has provided for us as a church over these summer months. You know, just a reminder, it doesn't all begin and end with me. It's about us together, ministering, working together for God's glory here at Trinity. God's good in so many ways. We experience, we know God's goodness in so many different ways. And yet it's so easy for us to forget about God's goodness, isn't it? We so quickly forget how good our God has been to us. because life gets busy. Life gets busy. You get frantic maybe with harvest, or maybe not so much today because it's wet out, but you get busy getting ready to go back to school. You get busy gearing up for life. The worries, the cares, the anxieties of life crowd in around us. We get caught up in these seemingly important things that press in, that cause us worry, anxiety. It's easy to forget, to lose sight of God's goodness to us. We've been reading a lot of Max Lucado's children's books in our house recently, about the Wemmicks. They're little wooden people that live in Wemmicksville. Have you ever read Max Lucado? You Are Special is one of them. I forget the whole series. It's something like that. Maybe I'll bring some to the front, and you can have a look at those. Really good stories. But it's about a group of people, these wooden puppets. Think Pinocchio. That's probably lost on half of the kids here. unless they've done a remake. I don't know if they've done a remake of Pinocchio. You can tell me later. But think these wooden puppets. And so often, time and again, story after story, you have these wooden puppets, these Wemmicks, scurrying about, trying to be like everyone else, trying to have what everyone else has. You know, green dots on their noses, or, you know, this certain look on their color of paint, and that sort of thing. Could think of Dr. Seuss's The Sneetches, if you've heard of that. The Sneetches, who have stars on theirs. And anyway, I'm not going to, I won't get into that. You can read that book later, too. but they get so busy chasing after these things, these Wemmicks, until finally the stories ultimately end in one Wemmick kind of stumbling upon Eli, who's their maker. They stumble upon Eli, the maker, and he asks, you know, really deep, probing questions of them. He asks, are you actually happy? Do you actually know who you are? And really one of the most profound questions that he asks is, do you care about what the other Wemmicks think of you, or what your maker thinks of you? Because really it's the one who has made you whose opinion matters, who counts. And I think so often, you know, we get caught up chasing after these things that promise us goodness, that promise us happiness, that promise us life. We get so caught up in what the neighbors have, in what those people down the street, they got a new this or that. We get so caught up in all of those things. We get so caught up in what other people will think of us that we forget about the one that matters. About the one whose opinion matters, what God thinks of us. Maybe you've asked this question of yourself in life sometimes. What exactly did I get myself into? What exactly am I doing? Again, maybe if you're a farmer, harvest is probably about that time. What was I thinking seeding all those acres? Or what was I thinking putting this in this field, or whatever? At parenting, that's a question you ask multiple times a day. What did I get myself into? What is going on today? Teachers will just get that in a week or two. What is going on? What am I doing? You might think that in relationships. Cassie's been liking to reflect this past little while on just the question, who let us get married at 21? Who thought that was a good idea? It's all been a positive experience 12 years later. But who thought that was a good idea to let these young kids get married? What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I chasing after? What am I striving for? It's a question I think we get so focused on sometimes. And again, so focused on the here and now, really the finite details, that we lose picture of the bigger picture, the grander scheme. I just want to look at a couple verses here from Jeremiah chapter 1 that we heard read a few minutes ago. This is a call of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet sent by God, someone who was sent to share God's word to God's people, to give them warning, to give them encouragement, to direct them back to God himself. And so these verses that were shared earlier is the call of Jeremiah. God coming to Jeremiah and saying, I've got this job for you. I have this task for you to do. Jeremiah didn't think he was up for the challenge. He didn't think he was up for the task that God had laid before him. And I love that because I think so much in our lives, even as we reflect on, you know, when life is unfair or scary or changes or sad or is good, through all the changes of life, even from a moment-to-moment basis, so often I think we feel like we're not enough. Like we're not enough. We're not up to the call, to the task that God has set before us for today. Whether that's parenting, whether that's working, whether that's going to school, whether that's volunteering, whether that's farming, whatever it is. So often we feel like we're not up to that task. We're not up to what God has invited us into. And so Jeremiah, after God says, I know you, I've created you, I am your maker. He says that in Jeremiah 1 verse 5. There's black pew Bibles in your pews if you want to follow along too, by the way, page 627. After Jeremiah hears this call, this direction from God to go, Jeremiah says, as pretty much everyone in the Bible says when God tells them to go somewhere or to do something, he says, ah, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak, for I am only a youth. Jeremiah finds reasons, excuses, not to go, not to do what God is calling him to do. He found a reason to question, to wonder about God's call on his life, on what God had given him for this moment. And I think even as we think about that question of what am I doing, what have I got myself into? You know, sometimes I think we thrive on that question. We really like having some of that second guessing and that ambiguity in our lives because we know that if we kind of question what we're doing, how we're acting, the things that we're doing now, if we're questioning that, you know, if they don't work out, then it's not really my fault because I was kind of wondering about it already. You know, we like having kind of an option of a plan B, so that we're not the ones to blame if something fails. We make our plans, and really our best laid plans, we act as kind of a fallback or a fail-safe. But God in his goodness, I think he says to Jeremiah, he reminds each of us that God in his goodness really is our fail-safe, the one on whom we can always fall back on. Because Jeremiah says, basically, God, what are you doing? I am not up to this. And again, parents, you ask that question every day, don't you? What are you doing? I am not up to this. As the kids run around screaming at 6 o'clock in the morning, ready to get up, and you're not, or whatever it is. I'm not up to this. But God doesn't say, okay, I'll find someone else. What does God say in verse 7? He says, but the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send, you shall go. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. You see, God says to Jeremiah, and I think really God says to each and every one of us, it's not about you, it's about me. It's about me. It's about me as your God, as your maker. As the one who has made you, the one who loves you, the one who has created you, it's about me. He says to Jeremiah, go. Go where I tell you. Speak what I tell you to speak. Do not be afraid, for I am with you to be your deliverance, to be your salvation, to protect you. I am with you. And really, that's the good news of God's goodness to us. That really is the heart of the good news of God's goodness to us, that it's not about us, where we've been or what we've done, you know, what our lives have looked like, what they look like now even. It's not about us. It's about God, about his goodness, of his love, of his forgiveness and mercy. See, God was sending Jeremiah out to the nations, to the world, to share his goodness with the world, to make him known. That's what God has done to us. He's made his goodness known. He's made his goodness known most powerfully, most importantly, on that day that Jesus died, the day that he sent his son, his very son, into the world, that he would die, that he would take all of our failures, all of our shortcomings, our those things that we don't want anyone else to know about, those things that weigh us down, that bring us shame and guilt. He takes those things upon himself on that cross. And 3 days later, he rises again, that all would have new life, fresh life, resurrection life in him. This is the goodness of God. And no matter what life throws your way, when life is unfair, it's only the kids that are paying attention, okay? I was just testing. Thanks, Emmett. Right? But no matter what life throws our way, no matter what we face, this is the good news of God. This is the goodness of God on display time and again. That God calls us back to himself, not to care about what we think of ourselves or what anyone else thinks, but of what he thinks of us. That we are called beloved children of God, bought by him, redeemed by him, forgiven by him. Because you see, God's goodness, it's not like a plan B or a fallback plan. It is the plan for our lives, for this world today. That we would know his forgiveness, that we would live in that as forgiven people, redeemed by him, that we'd have wholeness of relationship with each other and with our God. So just as the Father was sending out Jeremiah to be bearers of goodness, of his good news to the people, as one who's experienced goodness, so too God sends each of us out to be bearers of goodness. On the very last day of VBS, we launched 150 ping pong balls or something like that out to the kids, really as a sign of receiving God's goodness. And they all got one or two of the balls, and they were to be reminded of God's goodness. And we challenged them to pass that ball along, to pass that ball along, to show goodness, to remind people or tell people the ways that they've seen God's goodness in their lives. Because we really do live in a world that needs to know the good. That needs to know goodness. You see that in how popular those positivity rocks are, right? You know, how excited people get in finding them and making them. We all need that goodness. Jeremiah, God's word reminds us that we all need even more goodness than the rocks can offer to us. We need the goodness of a God who loves us, of a God who offers himself for us in forgiveness. A God who strengthens us in his power each day. So how have you seen God's goodness in your life? I meant to have little slips of paper and you could write it down, but this week got away from me. But think about that. There's actually a board at the back with sticky tacks or sticky notes. Everybody could turn around and look, because I know you won't later. You walk buy it or don't go that way. But there's been a bulletin board up there for almost a year that the Sunday school kids do this every time they get together and write down ways that they've seen God's goodness. Encourage you, jot something down, put it up on the board, share God's goodness as you've experienced his grace, his forgiveness, and his mercy in your life. Amen. So we'll continue our time of worship.